everyone. This is Dez here, and I have Mitch and Nick and Mr. Mark McBride over here in studio.
That's true.
So what's up, guys?
Hello. Oh, there I am.
We're still learning how to use the mics.
Yeah.
Am I okay?
Apparently, you can just speak right into them.
Fucking technology.
Hello? Oh, okay.
What? Yes.
See?
Hey, we're
you like that?
We're allowed to use bad language, right?
Yes. Okay, you can cuss as much as you fucking want. It's beautiful.
God bless the internet.
Internet radio.
It's the first thing everyone asks, I think.
Well, you got to make sure. You know, like, I've had friends
start, which part do I talk into and can I curse?
Well, because you got to watch out for these things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I had a friend, she...
Apparently, your mom and your mother-in-law are both going to be listening. So I guess the question is, can we curse?
You know...
Fuck yeah, we can. This is Blast Off with Dez Cadet, goddammit. No.
Blast Off, man.
No offense to the moms. Mine's probably listening in as well.
Oh, no, no. I mean, like, my mom has been scarred plenty with
Am I the only
stories.
One here that doesn't like to swear around his parents?
Yeah.
Am I old-fashioned like that?
Yep.
I try not to, but I think that I feel that I've earned the right as an old man.
Oh,
wait, when did you start swearing? Like, when was the? Because I remember when I did the sweared.
But tell us about your first swear.
No. I'm asking. I want to hear his how did you get into that? Right with your parents.
You know, I honestly couldn't even tell you right now because I remember as a kid being the. Like, we're talking middle school, like, you know, middle school, being the little square kid, and my friends being like, man, you don't swear. You got to swear, otherwise, like, you're just going to, like, grow up and just, like, it's just going to, like, you're going to go crazy. They firmly believed that I would just completely go to hell. Not go to hell as far as, like, oh, you're going to hell. No, like, as far as, like, mine was just going to become the biggest sailor mouth. It was just going to, like, come out all at one time or something.
Like the pressure building up. Yeah.
But I've done pretty well, but no, that's a lie.
Well?
I believe I've done well as far as not completely exploding in, but I do have friends who would argue that I swear like a sailor.
Did you grow up religious at all, or what was the dynamic behind that?
No, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, like we were, standard moral middle American, completely fucking Norman Rockwell family. But, you know,
Norman fucking Rockwell.
Norman fucking Rockwell. I did remember one time as a 16-year-old, like learning to drive, kind of like, you know, oh gosh, I'm stuck behind the wheel, you know, kind of thing. Yeah.
You said gosh in your head? As
well,
a 16-year-old?
Because my mom's in the car at this point, you know. So, no, I must have been like 15, have with the driver's permit type thing. And I remember being there, like, and driving, and at some point, like, getting cut off, and my initial just like, fucking A! Like, you know, with my mom in the car, there's just this moment where...
Traffic just brings it out in all
it does.
Of this, I guess. There's something
just
really...
this pause, and I kind of look over my mom and just, you know, like, okay, I guess the situation warranted it, and we just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
So I think, but beyond that, as far as like when I was genuinely a grown-up...
I think that was the first time I ever swore in front of my parents. It was a holy fuck, but I was like... Look at that truck.
We almost
got hit by a truck. I wish I had the delicacy to rhyme out of it, but in my head, I sort of justified it. I was like, well, maybe he just thought I said like truck or like, whoa, what a truck. So nice. I think we both kind of pretended that because we didn't really speak that.
Wait, I don't understand. What about you? Was your upbringing, if you did swear, would you be like, Mitchell?
Yeah.
You would just say your name, right?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't really test it that much. I had friends who would like, they would get their mouths washed out with soap, but I don't think my parents were that hardcore.
Really?
I would get in trouble. Like I would be reprimanded probably.
That's fucking weird. They would actually do the soap thing.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
I remember my dad used to, like at one point my parents were talking and it was one of those like, you know, laughing about you as when you were young and stupid and like, you know, my sister being like more difficult to handle or whatever type thing. And I was like, oh, because I was obviously like the good kid. I was awesome. And mom was like, man, you had a mouth on you, you know? And I remember thinking like, what does that mean? And then I remember, and then my dad always would say that something which I'm sure that I've used on people. Is he says, you say, man, if you were half as smart as you think you are, you'd know when to shut up. I was like, which at the time, that's one of those classic
Dad
moves
slam.
Where you're just like, you're just like, oh, screw you, old man. But now, as an old man, I'm thinking to myself, God damn, he was right. Like, I've used that on so many people. I'm just like, man, if you were half as smart as you think you are, you'd know when to shut up.
That's brutal.
Dads can use that.
Dads can, I feel like for my upbringing, like my mom, I could do whatever the fuck I wanted. And my mom, you know, I could always talk my way out of it or joke, you know, I'd do something bad. My mom would try and reprimand me and I'd make some stupid fucking joke and she would laugh it off. She'd go, oh, you. But when my dad got mad at me, that was I fucked up. Right. That's for real. Like if my old man got mad at me, which happened like maybe once or twice a year, that meant that I literally I knew that I fucked up. And the shit that can come out of my dad, when he gets, he's like, you know, he's very Norwegian. Right. And so his eyes get steely blue. Like it's like he had too much of the spice. Right. His eyes get fucking blue. And I swear to fucking Christ, his pupils get smaller. Right. So it's like these little pinholes and he just. And he shakes a little bit. Like he does this micro shake.
Some kind of Nordic rage he goes into.
It's a Nordic rage, man. Yeah. His eyes get fucking blue. Like you can see a landscape in them. Like fjords and shit.
Was it there's some Viking term for... There's some Viking term for going into the rage, when you're on your way to Valhalla or Ragnarok or something like that. There is some Viking I reached the rage.
Is there a term for it? Or is it
you, I swear, really, if anybody's listening, text me if you
know
this.
I don't know how the fuck you got into the show right now. Vikings. Yeah, call in. It's 1-800-893-9562. We are accepting calls.
Not that we're desperate.
We're totally desperate.
Let's say that again slowly. What was that number again?
What is 1-800-800.
Oh, you want to do it?
Yeah, of course I want it.
Well, then do it.
It's my turn. 893-9562. And this is Blast Off with Dez Cadet.
Well, that is a serious thing for me because
your voice is so smooth.
I've been practicing.
I recently started looking into getting a car. I'm a non-car owner. The only one
I recently
in Los
got
Angeles.
A car. We've had a lot of car drama.
I'm a non-car owner.
I just lost my right to drive.
Yeah.
Fuck you, LAPD.
We represent a pretty wide spectrum here.
Okay, so I said, okay, I'm gonna start feeling this out. And my insurance company, they've got because I got a motorcycle, so I got insurance. Mm. And they've got some deal will help you get a car.
I feel like when you're the motorcycle guy, why go back to a car guy from there? Like you've gone past the car thing. Does anyone else feel that way?
Well, there's the whole impending death thing with a motorcycle.
Right.
You know? And you can't carry a surfboard on a motorcycle.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. That's it.
That's
a cooler way of saying that you can't get a lot of groceries.
Damn.
Yeah, your groceries, you get 3 days at a time.
But back to the surfing. No, just kidding.
Oh, that's an embarrassing. But no, I filled out online. They had a little buy-in service, and I was like, I know that I'm going to get spammed. Like you put your phone number and your email into anything that is going out to salesmen. You're going to get attacked. But so I limited it down to 6 sales. Like I was like, there are only 6 dealers that can have my number.
Yeah.
And these guys are calling me back, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I saw this coming, but. For somebody who's a professional trying to get loads of my money, the message
so this is Mike Evans from Glendale Toyota. Can I get your number? Yeah, you can call me back at 1-800-432-7345-679.
Dude, I would love to write down your number. I would consider giving you large sums of money
for a good chunk of your life.
For
it's a commitment getting a car.
It is, but you'd think that he would...
That's a bond you make with your dealer. They have to really, razzle-dazzle you.
Yeah.
I want to be fucking razzle-dazzled,
Yeah, and he's making it difficult for me. He is making it difficult for me. If I was trying to get some tail at a club, right? Or it's a bar at the end of the night, and I'm
not treating you right. He's not treating you like the...
I'm like, babe, come back to my place. And I go, and she says, what's your address? And I go, 1-2-3-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5- up. You, see, you didn't hear what I said. I'm not getting any. So you got, like, come on. These are, I thought these guys were professional salesmen.
Do you think it has to do with, like, people just essentially being lazier in general?
Is yeah, there should be an art to selling. And there is an art to selling.
Yeah. No, this is my theory.
Business relationships with customers, and that's how you sell shit, you know, repeatedly.
Right.
No, I agree. There's definitely, like, there are good salesmen, bad salesmen. But my this is what happens. People forget that I don't know their phone number. They know their phone number so fucking well, and they've said it so many times that they just they just say it like they've got it down.
So they're like 8 8 9 7 5. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and you're like, no, I literally don't have any idea what the fuck you're talking about.
I do not know your phone number.
I don't know you.
Yeah, but they forget this.
And you, so they, you think that they're projecting onto you that you should know what their phone number is.
Yeah, I think that they like, you know, they kind of just clip it, like just slide into that, like, like, oh, this is something I've done 100 times. It's kind of like, you know, the horse knows the way home in the song. Their brain knows the way home, and they just rattle off the number.
There's nothing more frustrating than somebody who assumes that, like people who mumble, and I've been busted mumbling a couple of times. And
you don't strike me as a mumbler.
I agree. You've got a radio clear voice, man. You're obviously the pro in the room.
It's fucking mesmerizing. Degrees
outside. I want you to tell me what the top 40 hits are for the week.
Top 40 hits. Well, we're going to start off with John Cougar Mellencamp.
Whoever lists all top 40.
What's top 40, actually goes through all
top 40?
Who gets on top 40 these days? I mean, there's so many different.
Why is it 40?
Is it 40 still? Well,
that just seemed like a good round number. Trend.
Billboards. I've never understood that.
Probably how many they can squeeze in the block allotted. You know, like they had to fill 4 hours on a Sunday morning. 40. That's 40 if they had songs. 3 hours, it'd be the top 30.
That's some logistical thinking there. Wait, I get paid
large money for the logistical thinking.
I want to ask you a question because you're a professional. You're world champ, right? Yo-yo.
I was a former professional.
Okay.
Was never world champ, but at the world
yo-yo
contest. At the world yo-yo contest, there is a division of the world yo-yo contest that is based on tricks I'm credited with.
See, did you develop new tricks?
Yes.
You did.
You're a pioneer.
And because obviously you can't, it's a radio show, but like, what were the tricks? What were they called? What did you call the tricks?
These tricks,
if I'm not mistaken, was the AAA, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Like, I wonder, like, okay, I don't know. We've obviously, in bad radio, have we given a good introduction of why I don't even know who all's the regulars. Why am I here? Why, like, have we given
just, what exactly is going on here?
We're completely off the cuff.
We jumped right into,
we just talk.
Okay.
Lot.
We'll just
and
lead
we talk
into
shit
it.
And then we talk a lot about a lot of other
shit.
But
I think he's making a good point. Maybe we should
introduce everyone.
Kind of.
Give the first act hook. You know?
Figure out what's going on here.
Okay.
Is that a bad idea?
You guys are all looking at me now.
Bad idea.
Well, you're the host.
your name's in the title. I think that you should be the one to start.
I feel like you guys are so. Give us some context here.
Like a dysfunctional family.
Actually, the whole time I brought Nick over here tonight, I just kind of talked him into this. The whole time he was trying to like kind of pump me for information. He's like, so this is a radio show, huh? And I would just be like, well, yeah. And I didn't really give him much to go off of, but he kept following along. Like,
Because we're actually in a studio, right?
This is
nice. I was literally thinking that it was going to be like one person with like a manila folder kind of like room and like a laptop.
But I came loaded with a bottle of Jameson again. Don't worry, Mom. I won't drunk dial you this time. We're going to drunk dial someone else's mom tonight.
I don't know if she can guarantee that.
I can't.
There's still half a bottle of Jameson.
I'm working on it.
She's
half,
working on it.
It's halfway.
I'm not sure that was the takeaway, but yeah.
Filled.
All right. So
the context of the evening.
I invited Mark down here because when I started thinking about doing this show, I just wanted to bring on interesting people from not only music side of life in Los Angeles, but, you know, from everywhere.
It's
an open forum. Blast Off is like, it's an open forum for kind of whatever the fuck we want to talk about with a couple songs in between and lots of drinking and just hanging out, you know? I think that makes good radio to hear people and their conversations and stuff. So, boom, Mark. I've known Mark for a long time.
That's true.
My favorite memory with Mark was when we went to, what was it, Hootenanny?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, I know that we went to Hootenanny. I don't know if that's your favorite memory, but.
Well.
So I should say yes. I'd be like, yes, we did go to Hootenanny.
Yeah. No, aside from that, we went to Hootenanny and.
I'm sorry. What is Hootenanny?
Hootenanny is like the rockabilly
fucking. I think that's
the
question that's on everyone's mind.
Equivalent to.
Every July 4th, Orange County, they put on a big rockabilly show.
Oh, okay.
You know, they usually have some pretty good bands, like pretty good headliners, some pretty fun ones. Last year or the year before, they had Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis, except for Jerry Lee Lewis was too old, but yet Chuck Berry, he fucking showed, delivered, was awesome, had all the girls up on the stage at the end of the show.
Wow.
And then other, but usually like the mainstays are like the Reverend Horton Heat, Social Distortion, and whatever Mike Ness spinoff. I think he alternates between like himself with and without the band.
Oh man, that sounds great. I've never heard of it.
So we went there and it was during, I think either, was it Dropkick Murphys? I want to say Dropkick Murphys were there, but I can't recall exactly. But Murder City Devils definitely played.
They were there.
And it was a beautiful fucking awesome show. And I'm running through the pit trying to get to the front. And I see Mark with his shirt off just hopping wildly. And
if you're going to do it right.
And it was just, it was such a beautiful sight. I think I even took a picture of it. But no, it was so awesome. Like,
did like time slow down for you?
No, it was just cool that like, because...
Did things get slower? Like molasses?
No, I just never seen someone just so naturally just like in it, you know, not giving a fuck about what everyone else is doing. Just kind of like.
You already know him at this point?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. We went there.
It makes it sort of sound.
No.
It's a very stalky story if you did. Kind of an awesome. I kind of like it better if you did.
He's gently
swinging. That would have been fun. No, like me and Mark,
the birds came out, the soft focus.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I walked across to her.
I just knew we were going to be best buddies.
Like dripping in sweat. Hey, babe. You know, like, that's a much better story.
No, well, I didn't meet Mark like that. I met him at a party at my friend Joe and Christy's house. And
time slowed down for you.
The infamous house on.
And then I ripped my shirt off, all of a sudden started sweating.
The sweet sounds of Hoot Nanny were in the air.
And, I just met Mark at a bunch of parties, and we all went to the same shows, and, you know.
I'm trying to add some drama to this.
Trying
to jump.
There's got
to
be a
word. Down everything. By the way, you're just slowing everything down.
Okay, so there's got to be a word in some language somewhere. Some language somewhere in the world has to have a word for like party friends. You know, like
it's probably something in German.
Yeah.
Like Wirtehausen.
Yeah, like as in those people that you just know because you hang out at the same parties and you never really met them. You just kind of knew them starting at some point.
It's Bierenfreunden.
Bierenfreunden.
That sounds a little bit more like German.
Bierenfreunden.
Bierenfreunden.
Bierfreunden, yeah.
Bierfreunden. I like that. We're
literally
coining that.
Beer friends.
Beer friends.
Yeah. Exactly. Bierfreunden. So, yeah, so that's how, so Des and I, oh, we're Bierenfreunden? How do
you?
Is my pronunciation?
Nobody really.
I gotta ask my
Yugen
friends
German.
About that.
Gosh. Hold on, I'm going to.
Text your mom?
Yes, I should text my mom.
Do it, because that'd be awesome.
No, but I do know somebody who would be able to pronounce this.
I did just make it up, so I hope.
Well, you speak a little bit of German, right?
Let's do this.
I am German.
Wait.
I speak a little bit of German.
I'm getting, apparently the word is Steinhauser, according to my wife.
Steinhauser.
That's bullshit. That's her maiden name. No, I'm, okay. Let's do this. Let's take a moment to plug the number again so that I can text it to a friend.
It is
1-800-893-9562.
And it's right up there, Mark.
If there are any German phrases just burning a hole in your brain, call in.
6-2.
So, you know, how about right now we go to a song?
That sounds like a good idea.
And I'm going to play you some good songs. And, don't smoke before you have to do a radio show, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Cheers. And here we go. Let's listen to some Turbo Negro.
Where are your friends? Where are your friends? What? Where are my friends? All my friends are dead. Friends are dead! Get kicked in the head! All my friends are dead! All my friends are dead!
The music's off. Oh, Dez. Dez is messing up the music, everybody.
So that was part of a Turbo Negro song. Due to technical difficulties, we moved on to Fear, Camarillo. And now we're back.
I love the euphemism, technical difficulties.
They were fucking technical, that man. That wasn't my fault.
And it was difficult. We've learned that it is difficult for
Dez. I thought that was just your remix you were doing over there.
I wish I could use that for my life, you know? I could just be like, due to some technical difficulties, I'm not going to be able to pass this test tonight.
That seems there should be an app for that. I mean, like, not to be like as cliche as to use that joke, but
right.
You should be able to just be like, you know, just hold up technical difficulties.
Technical.
There should be one that generates like a wide range of excuses. Like,
I agree.
Sorry, solar flares or something.
All right, so we were going to talk about context. It's why I'm here, why Nick is here. This is what we were discussing.
Who the fuck are we?
I think we might have gotten a little too deep on the context. But let's pick up. We invited Mark mainly because he's the yo-yo man.
And that's really what
not only that, because he's a general badass too. And you know, I thought someone's going to bring something on the table, goddamn.
That's why
Mark's the first on my list.
It's going to be yo-yos.
I didn't expect you to have such. I mean, your mohawk is like 3 feet high.
It's true.
I didn't expect to see that.
See, you laugh, but I actually had a mohawk when I was first learning how to yo-yo. Not only did I had a mohawk when I was learning how to yo-yo, and
is that a
was
yo-yo a, thing like the yo-yo.
There are yo-hawks, yeah. I'm sure out there. And then I had purple hair when I was actually a professional. I actually worked for a toy company, and I would report to the vice president. Like I lived in Los Angeles.
A clown.
No. But I did I did have purple hair, and I remember thinking to myself, like, you know, dude, the kids dig it, and my job is to hang out with 8-year-old like 8th grade boys and like convince them to buy stuff.
Yeah.
And they think purple hair is cool.
The
vice president of the country, the vice president of the company was very worried about this. And he was and he says, okay, so I'm doing this trade show. It's like, man, it's just gonna be you and the big boss. I say, okay. He's like, so he doesn't know you have purple hair. So you gotta worry about this. And I go, and vice presidents are like, oh, I'm cool. Like, turns out vice president, not cool. So the entire time I kept my hat on, only to find out that halfway through the president was smart enough to be like, dude, purple hair's cool. You know, and again, I'm selling to eighth grade boys. That's my gig. So you just got to know who your audience is.
That's such a weird thing to me. Like, so you were kind of like a renegade in the sense that, like, you know, this guy's, I don't know if we should hire him, but his hair is purple. He's got purple hair, but he's amazing at yo-yo. This guy can sell some fucking yo-yos.
Okay, you know what?
Was that a yo-yo selling job?
Here's the whole story was that, here's your yo-yo history, boys and girls. So Dunkin' Yo-Yos was the big yo-yo company.
I fucking remember Dunkin', yeah.
I am currently sponsored by Dunkin' Yo-Yos.
Is that right?
No shit.
How come we don't have a flat of yo-yos here for us?
Because I came here on a motorcycle. That's what we covered beforehand. If I had a car, I could have hooked you guys up.
No yo-yos.
No,
got a motorcycle.
No pallets of yo-yos.
We're going to have him back. I'll come pick you up, man.
And then I will bring you guys yo-yos.
He just wants the yo-yos.
And so, what happened was yo-yo starts like early half of the 1900s up through the 70s, it's like dominated by Dunkin' Yo-Yos.
Yeah.
And they basically would promote it by having the yo-yo guy go out. He would do a show at the local. Here's a little time capsule, like show you how the things are dated.
Yeah.
This middle-aged man would go out and perform shows on the schoolyard, and everybody was fine with this, and it didn't seem weird. And then when the teachers would, you know, shake their fist at him, he would jump in his car and drive off. And this was not illegal or weird in any way.
He's just showing off his yo-yo.
Right on, show off his yo-yo.
Come on, it's harmless.
Exactly. So then, you know, television hits, Duncan folds. There's a lot of history in here, which I'll glaze over. But Duncan stops doing the Yo-Yo Man program type promotions in the 70s.
Did Duncan invent the yo-yo?
Duncan found the guy who brought the yo-yo to the States. Nobody knows where exactly it was invented, but they do know that it was a toy in the Philippines up until, I believe, 1917.
The Philippines?
And somebody should correct me. Like, I have many friends that could correct me on the exact date.
If they would call in at 800-893-9562.
It's true. Like, we could get the exact date. And
we should have brought a dedicated yo-yo historian.
Who the fuck is this guy then?
I mean, it's true.
I mean,
tough
we
debate.
Do have one.
I mean, don't you travel with a historian generally? Oh, motorcycle.
Yeah, again, motorcycle. Sorry. If I had the car, I could have brought my historian with me.
Man, he knows more about yo-yos than anybody here, right?
I'm sure he does.
And so
you should just bullshit positive. Us. Just tell us it was invented here in the Philippines.
I could, and you would never know the difference.
I know. I want to be sold the tale.
But I am trying.
Yo-yos were invented by wizards.
Yeah, that's right.
At Candy Mountain.
Like, what if
now I'm listening?
They actually come back up the string because they are, in fact, eating the string trying to get to your hand.
Yo-yos. Wow. That's how you just don't know it.
And when you throw the yo-yo, you're actually ripping the intestines from the yo-yo, and then it consumes its intestines climbing back up the string
like a cucumber.
And if you eat a yo-yo, you become a yo-yo. Yes.
But anyway, so what happened is by the 70s, they quit doing this, right? Then at the end of the 90s...
They stopped doing the jump out of the... Oh, yeah. Duncan stopped everybody.
Well, Duncan was the company. So okay, when they okay, stopped okay. everybody,
the
there was nobody
yard
else.
The yo-yoings.
So when things kick back in at the end of the 90s, when this, they make better yo-yos, again, this is like 20 plus years later, they're making better yo-yos, this Japanese company says, dude, we can sell a million of these, so they start doing the big promotions. But by that point, again, the youngest guy... In 1970 would have been, you know, that's 30 years ago. He's like, he's even older and creepier now. Nobody played yo-yos. So the handful of us that just happened to, for no particular reason, learn yo-yo tricks in college, job.
Wow.
They just said, they were like, dude, do we know anybody out there? And it was just like,
did word spread like wildfire among the yo-yo community? Or
all 12 of us, exactly. Of now,
what about this? Because I remember this as a kid when the butterfly came out. You right?
The butterfly came out and...
And I was like, and they were like, this thing will do shit that you won't believe. And it was just a yo-yo, except it had more room for the string to build up, right? That was the thing. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just easier to do the tricks.
I remember I bought one because I thought I could just do the fucking tricks because it, you know.
It looked that easy in the
I was like, well, if the problem with the previous one is it's like a fucking, you know, it's like a fat Oreo and the string gets all fucked up on the inside and it's not my fault. So I got one of those things. Not any better.
You know, when like at the end of the 90s when this was a thing.
Yeah.
They had... Like all of the standard, mass market, the yo-yos that everybody got, again, they're like $20 yo-yos. Okay, good yo-yo, $20 yo-yo. But there was one yo-yo called the Silver Bullet 2, made by Tom Kuhn Yo-Yos, this like the company that was the badass yo-yo company that like only like the hardcore guys knew about through the 80s and stuff when nobody knew of anything. Like it was that yo-yo company.
That's Tom Kuhn?
No, this is the guy who he got into this thing because NASA decided to do one of their for the publicity, like, hey, maybe we can learn something projects. They did a Toys in Space. So they go, okay, we're going to send a yo-yo to space. But the problem is a regular yo-yo works on gravity. There's no fucking gravity in space. So they call this guy because he's making the most badass yo-yos. Tommy Smothers is his boy.
Oh, wow.
And he...
I don't know who Tommy... I don't know that guy. So it's
Tommy Smothers, what they say, the yo-yo guy? The
like,
yo-yo man?
Tommy Smothers.
Yeah, God, Tommy.
Exactly. Well, like a generation above us, everybody always says, do you know Tommy Smothers? I'm like, No, but I know a guy who does. Because the guy that I know, it was the badass.
It's amazing.
I can't believe that I'm in studio.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
I don't know him. I mean, are you kidding me? Me, Tommy Smothers? Are you fucking joking? But I know a guy.
No, but the guy that I know, yo-yos. Like I'll go up and you know, get to hang out with him in San Francisco and stuff. And he will literally get phone calls. Like he will get emails and stuff from astronauts.
Searching for Tommy
Motherfucking Smothers. Astronauts will just be like, like, because they're still buddies from back in the day when he figured out this amazing yo-yo that works in space.
So he's the man who sent the yo-yo to space.
It's true. So he starts making the yo-yo on Earth. It's a $100 yo-yo, right? Now, back in the day, that was like, what the hell, man? Like, that's
do you have
yo-yo.
One of these space yo-yos?
I do, not with me, but...
Of course yo-yos are connected to space.
Mark McBride, you come on Blast off. Our fucking logo's a spaceship and bring the goddamn space yo-yo?
I've got a yo-yo.
You don't bring the goddamn space yo-yo?
Let's see what you've got.
I'm disappointed.
You probably just brought
let's
one of those
break out the yo-yos.
Fucking
Mark's
Dunkins.
Breaking out the yo-yos.
Okay, don't show me one of those Dunkins. I'm sick of them. I want to see a space yo-yo.
Now that we
nothing
know,
will please us now,
now that we know there's a difference.
You know, let's go to a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. When we come right back, Mark's going to do some yo-yo stuff, which none of you will see, but that's fine. We will, and we'll describe all of it word for word.
Yeah.
So we're going to commercial and we'll be right back.
It's in like a tube.
So is the bad advice here on Skid Row Studios. Listen to us every Saturday, 2 to 3 Pacific time. If you want to call the show, call us at 800-893-9562.
Sad news. Nora Ephron died this week. It was the first thing she'd done in a while that wasn't funny. And Katie Holmes is finally finishing her 5-year search for a good divorce lawyer.
She and I can finally go out in public.
It was like he studied for the part of you're a heterosexual in love and then went out and completely played it wrong. That's interesting because I was going to say that marriage was less believable than Katie Holmes and Batman. But that's the weekly wrap-up every Sunday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific time at skidrowstudios.com.
We're back, and if you do want to watch us, we'll be at ustream.tv/Skid Row Studios, and you can see all of Mark's wonderful yo-yo stuff.
Wait, you told me this was on the radio.
Yeah, but we can also webcast,
the
apparently.
The crazy thing about the internet is...
We can do things.
It stops being radio at that point, doesn't
it?
Yeah.
Are we on now?
So it's right, the camera's right over here. Okay. If you want to do your...
Okay, so I should be over there.
Yeah, right over here. Over
no,
there?
You should be over
no,
there.
There's the one over there.
Okay, so Mindy, we got one over there as well.
Our Mindy, two cameras.
Where we go?
How are you tonight?
Where's the action supposed to be?
That's the main one. This one is like a close-up, like spying on the host.
Spying on the host one.
Like I'd have to look and see.
So, will his yo-yo action look best over here, you think, then?
Yeah, I'd do it right about over here.
Okay. I like to think that there's somebody in Uganda that is just riveted by this show.
Someone's
right
like,
now.
Holy
just,
fuck, he's going to do
here's the
fucking
thing.
Yo-yo thing.
Here's the thing, like, I am awesome until you bother to look up other people playing the yo-yos.
Oh.
And then it's like taking the Wright brothers to an air show. Well, you know, where you're just you're like, here's this important guy, and I walk out with my little balsawood and like paper airplane, and it's like, and then the F-16 screams over, and you're like, what the fuck was that? And you're like, well,
hey,
I was impressive 80 years ago.
I call this one Falcon Glide. It's a one-cylinder prop plane. It goes 4 miles an hour.
Don't steal your own thunder, man. Let's just see some tricks.
I want to see some yo-yo
okay,
tricks.
Okay, okay, okay. So we will start with some basic yo-yo tricks for people.
There's got to be nothing more depressing than somebody who's good at yo-yo who's really sad about being good at yo-yo.
I always wanted a yo-yo for Christmas. And instead I got fucking Barbie dolls. Let me tell you, the girl who never played with Barbies only got Barbies for Christmas.
Oh, Jesus.
Terrible.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, yo-yos.
Ustream.com/skidrowstudios.
Oh, wow.
Like and Mark is doing some twirly shit with his hand for none of you who can see this because you're not on Ustream. But it's like, the only way I can describe it.
He just went behind his back, under the leg.
It's like a spider was on acid.
He's standing on his head right now. I don't even know how that's possible.
Wow, what if I could do a yo-yo trick on standing on my head?
That
maybe
would be
you should
amazing.
Try. Would this be a world first?
Oh, you don't do that?
I don't know. It's like the whole gravity. If you had your space yo-yo, I'm sure you could do it.
Yeah, my space yo-yo.
This is Mark's fault for not bringing the space yo-yo. Now you can't.
I got to leave something for the sequel, otherwise you'd never have me back.
Oh, we're going to have you back.
No, wait, I bet you could do something standing on your head. I really feel like you could.
Mark, I want to see one of your patented tricks. I mean, not like I'm going to know the other ones.
So that was...
That was pretty good, by the way. We were kind of talking over it.
He's got two now, people.
It was,
he's got two now.
It was quick and mind-blowing.
Somebody here should describe what's going on.
I am trying.
It's too fucking fast. It's like what happens.
It's kind of mystical. How do you describe this?
It's true.
Yeah, how do you describe a chemical reaction?
That's what makes it good radio.
Well, this thing is getting melty.
I'm going to try to describe this. Bear with me, people.
All right, he's got the yo-yo strings tight on his fingers.
He's got two yo-yos in his hand. One is green.
He's lowered one. He's sleeping.
Oh, my God.
He's sleeping the second one. He's going into some kind of a double...
You guys are going to give me a stroke.
He's like juggling with the fucking yo-yos, man.
Holy shit. Machinery. And it's like a postmodern apocalypse.
Holy shit. And I pulled up one and he's pulling up the other.
Yeah, and there it is.
And that is the trick. And you can see that at ustream.tv.skidrowstudios.
That's amazing.
That's
and if you call in, we'll even talk to you.
And what's that number again?
It is 1-800-893-9562.
That's right.
So right now, we're going to go to some more music with no technical difficulties this time. And this next song is No Bunny, Blow Dumb.
Isn't the way
And we're back.
With only minor technical difficulties.
Minor technical blah, blah, blah.
Practically none at all.
Practically none.
You know what sucks, though, is everybody missed out on your amazing tricks that you were doing. You were
but just, we just like, found out,
just hanging out.
But we just found out that people might have been spying on us on Ustream the whole time.
They were looking.
Yeah.
We feel naked
that
now.
That one guy in Uganda who is just, he's just riveted.
The last time I was on the radio, there was much nudity in the studio, and it's just not going to happen.
Is that
time.
Right?
That's actually completely true.
Really?
It's not bullshit. Really, it says true thing.
Yeah.
What station was this?
It was another internet show.
I might be on the wrong show.
It was.
Do you
it was
not remember
show.
Last week?
don't look at
Let's
me like
not
that.
Not talk about.
I think
last
we all had fun.
I don't think we're going to talk
never
about
last. See you do that again.
But wait.
No, so tell us that the yo-yo that you're
and now
using
he's
right
swinging
now.
Swinging it around.
He's got this wooden one, right?
This is old school wood.
Old school wood.
Yeah. So this is like again back in the day the yo-yo was all wood, and it would all the yo-yo tricks were based on like a wood axle sliding inside of a cotton string. Okay. And then later what they started to do was put a bearing in the middle of the yo-yo so that you could throw it really hard, like harder than,
yeah.
Like if I threw this yo-yo really hard, there'd be enough friction it would just burn through cotton string.
Mm.
But you put a bearing in
that
there.
That would be awesome.
It would be pretty awesome, but something would...
That could be used as a method of attack, like pepper spray. Yo-yo in your face.
Is that when it evolved from, you know, taking, you know... Kind of like barely walking the dog to like walking the dog.
I think that's definitely more stepped up.
I think the better question is, have you ever attacked someone with a yo-yo?
Yeah.
The fact that he has to think about it, I think, says
yes. Do they have, tactical yo-yos?
He's thinking about the legal ramifications of
talking about it. Okay, here's the thing. Since that is always a... that's like a myth. It's a legend. I don't know if it's true or not.
That
yo-yos were weapons before... They were toys. I can tell you that I've been to the Philippines where we know that the yo-yo came to America from. I've talked to the head of the Indigenous Games and Sports, like the Bureau of Indigenous Games and Sports in Manila.
Yeah.
And he's like, we don't actually have any proof that they were weapons. You know, and I was like, son of a bitch.
Wait, like he was holding back? Like he's like, I don't want to confirm nor deny.
He did. Because he was all like, well, you know, they were weapons long ago, but we used them as toys. And I was like, okay, I've heard that story a lot.
I'm totally going to carry around a fucking yo-yo with me
and
now.
And the only...
Galvanized steel.
I'm wondering what a battle yo-yo looks like.
Think about it this way. Anything that you send out with the yo-yo is coming back at you. You know,
what are you doing?
Boomerang, but that's an effective weapon.
I think Xena the Warrior Princess patented the yo-yo back in whatever the fucking time she lived in.
Wait, no, she had like a small hula hoop, right? She had that thing, she'd go, and she would throw
we have a caller
thing.
Coming in. Is it your mother?
This might be my mom.
I think it's your mother. 608. Okay, let's answer.
That's my mom. I'm going to Casey Kasem her.
Caller, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Is this Mr. Nick's mom?
I am Mr. Nick's mom.
How you doing, Ma?
What are you doing, Nick?
You know what, Ma? I don't know. I just found myself on this side of the bed, and here I am.
Recalling your mother.
Yeah.
Now, Nick's mom, you can out him. Did he really listen to that much Casey Kasem when he was a kid?
Oh, all the fucking time.
See, your mother's cursing. I love her already.
I don't know
Hello.
What the fuck you're talking about, Matt. But, yeah, I wasn't a Casey Kasem listener. I hated that shit. I'm infatuated with the way he sounds. What are you doing, Ma? I'm so surprised that you got my text, you called in.
Oh, why? What do you think I was doing?
I don't know. You're retired
now.
Motherly
well,
things.
Are you on the East Coast or West Coast?
I'm in the middle of America.
Okay, so
I know nobody knows where it is. Fortunately, it's Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. You know, I have to say good things about Wisconsin. I tried cheese curds when I was in Wisconsin, and they were deep fried cheese curds, which is like
we have an official
mean cheese curds?
Yes, that one.
Okay.
Wait, what'd you call them?
I don't know.
Cheese turds.
Cheese turds. Whatever.
No, Wisconsin's a beautiful state. Midwest is beautiful. Actually, I think people from the West and the East need to come and explore the Middle West.
Midwest. I was just in Colorado myself. I got to admit, I was just in Colorado myself, and it was snowing, and it was fucking beautiful. Being born and raised in California, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cuss in front of you. It's just, you know, how it comes out.
I was born and raised.
I see what you're saying, Mitchell. I see what you're saying. Now I feel bad cussing in front of someone else's mother.
Oh, yeah. Man. You have,
shit.
My mom is a sailor. Mom, I did.
Your mom is a sailor?
No. We had a brief discussion in the beginning about swearing, and I think we should bring it up real quick. And swearing in front of parents, when do you remember that I started swearing? When did that become okay? Because I feel like I've always kind of been, you guys have always been really lax with me swearing. Well, you've never really punished me for swearing. You just go, Nicholas, and then that was it.
Well, I think we probably are faulty parents for that. It just seems like there are different battles to fight, you know, and...
Because this guy cusses a lot.
A lot. Yeah. I mean, the whole first 20 minutes of our show was him cussing, like every other word.
But he's not a chronic abuser of cocaine and heroin. Cocaine, heroin, and prostitutes.
I can vouch for that. I can vouch for that.
You know, as parents, when you're raising your kids, you have to kind of pick your fights. Huh. And after a while, you know, he didn't drink. Until he was second semester senior year of high school.
Nick, is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I mean, it's amazing because we had told him that if he went through high school without drinking or smoking, then he would get a trip anywhere in the world.
Where did you go?
Bribery, I love it.
Wait, you just asked me where did I go?
Yes.
Nowhere.
What?
Because, you know what?
I didn't pass.
He drank or he smoked.
I drank.
You waited until the second half.
He had a party in our house when we were gone.
Oh, Nicholas.
The second semester of his senior year, and he lost his trip.
Was it worth it?
So close.
Wow. It was, you know.
Second semester. Do you know what second semester means? Totally. It means you have 4 months to go till July or June or whatever the fuck they let out, you know.
It was.
You couldn't wait.
And more importantly, that means that he missed out on, actually, I couldn't even say missed out because I was a little straight edge kid back in high school and, you know, I don't regret it at all.
Well, his sister got a trip to Norway.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick, you fucked up.
That, yeah, you fucked that up.
As somebody who has traveled wildly.
We're
going to guilt you for this for the rest of your life.
I hope it was a really good party.
It was a really good party, but...
Did you think you were going to get away with it?
No.
Where would you have gone if you didn't break that rule?
Yeah, where would you have gone?
I have no idea. Well, I've been kind of fond of Scotland, right? I think that's kind of an interesting...
Yeah, you just wanted to get some of that whiskey.
Wait, what did you say? I wanted to get some of that whiskey?
Scottish whiskey.
Scottish whiskey. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Irish and Scottish, the same shit.
But, you know, a lot of people kind of criticized us for bribing our children like that. But what happened is that it helped him get to second semester of senior high school before he started drinking.
You know what's a little disappointing, though, Ma? And you gotta admit, it didn't help me out on my grades at all. So do you think if I would have drank more and smoked, my grades might have been maybe even better?
You know what, Nick? Your grades were fabulous in the areas that you liked.
Aww.
Yeah.
And
which were what?
Mediocre in the middle ones and in the ones that you didn't like.
Was he good in math?
You didn't like, you didn't do very well. So
I did not do well in math.
Yeah, but parents' job is to try to keep their kids' brains as free as whatever can screw them up until they get more mature. So,
and then you can screw yourself up all you want.
When you were about 24, 25 years old, as long as you're off her record, a wonderful human being.
Oh, wait, when I was 24, but up until that point, how would you label me?
Maybe 22, 23.
You lowered the age. No, listen, bitch, you said 24.
Oh.
And now you're just amazing.
And now I'm incredible. I ship diamonds.
Now he's on the fucking radio,
Mom. Now I'm on the radio, Mom.
The internet radio.
He's the man
he's on the internet.
Loves this.
That's right.
In a respectable way. He's not showing his body. He's not selling drugs with his body.
Any wonderful people out there who...
want
to
date my boy.
Oh, shit.
Your mom is pimping you out.
Call in 1-800-893-9562 if you want to date this wonderful
mother's boy.
800-893-9562. 9562. We will put you right through to him.
I just did it, didn't
Jesus.
I?
She just
you know,
did.
That's forever, Matt.
I love it.
It's forever.
I think that should be an entire
now, so it
show.
Exists everywhere.
Maybe says you should do an entire
we
show on
set
Nick
up.
On pimping Nick. Pimping Nick.
I'll have to bring another bottle of Jameson for all of us. I mean,
we'll have yeah, we will have his mom like every at every Jesus station Christ. Break to like do another wonderful sales pitch.
You just
pitch.
Have to give him a motivational talk in between. And I think we'll be all right.
I can.
Yes. I love it.
Tune in every yeah. Wednesday.
Your shameless promotion of me is endearing and horrifying, Mother.
I'm sorry. I'm
for anyone who likes
lovely.
Mustaches
I think
and goatees, he has a fabulous mustache.
I'm such a fan.
You're a fan. Well, because, you know, you kind of have to be. You
well,
bought
let's
into
describe,
the club.
Let's describe you know. Nick with the minute that we have left. Let's describe Nick
the
for the internet world.
What the fuck is going
world.
On here?
And, hey, your mama did this. Not, don't worry about it.
All right.
If mom did it, then it's fine.
All right.
So how would you describe Mitch?
What?
Nick is a warm, loving, funny,
Ma, she said Mitch, not you.
She's doing you're a like, better job, and I could not disagree with you.
You know what? Here.
It's biased.
To all the
she's
girls, he's wearing a plaid shirt with the white
ladies.
Under
unbuttoned
heater.
Down to cleavage.
He's not that great.
He's showing
his
cleavage.
His yo-yo tricks are not that great,
which probably
though.
Means he's easy.
You've never seen me yo-yo, Mitch?
Maybe. And he drinks Tecate. Well, so
Nick has red hair.
He's a ginger.
That, if that doesn't get him.
He's a down ginger. Hey, Ma.
You say he's a down ginger?
Well, Ma, we're going to count down right now. It's the end of our show. We loved having you on. So everyone, count down, starting from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Blast off. Thanks.
Blast off.